lost the weight upon my shoulder. Now it's easier to walk. I can see the road before me. I am not afraid to fall.
All right, welcome back to the podcast today. We have such a great guest with us today. Yes. You guys are going to love her.
Yeah. Her name is Carrie Heaps, and she is related to a few other guests that we've had on.
Yes, which we'll explain that in the episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she talks about actually losing her twin sister to addiction, which is heartbreaking and so sad. But she really just has great perspectives to share, and just how she's like coped with the loss, and
yeah, just life lessons mm-hmm. that we can use to apply to any life, you know, hardship or transition. Mm-hmm. She was just very wise. She's a lot like her other relatives we had on.
Yes.
Had yeah. some wise words and very thoughtful. And I learned a lot from her today.
Yeah. And we said this too in the episode, but we do know addiction, something that kind of touches a lot of people. Most of us have known someone with addiction. So we're just grateful that she would share, and mm-hmm. we think you guys will learn a lot. And not just that, she also talks about how her husband is currently deployed, and he'll be gone for almost a year. It was like 10 months.
Yeah. 11 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In Africa. So that's an interesting transition, kind of being a single mom for a year. And
yeah,
she had some really good advice there and mm-hmm. stuff. So yeah, very just, it was an emotional conversation, but it was also very like, and I don't know, like enlightening, because I feel like she had some good things of ways to look at challenges and ways to cope with them that I think are really helpful, like mental health, physical health.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really
and she's just really thoughtful mm-hmm. all around and just a great person. So we think you'll love her. Yes. Yeah. And, so before we hop into the interview, we thought we would do something where we just kind of go back and forth each week on our intros of just maybe something that we've heard or something fun or interesting going on in our lives or some tidbit of information or something yes. for our intro. So I just, maybe you saw this reel on Instagram, but I saw this reel came up and this girl was like, there's no other music that you can listen to that takes you back quite as the ones that like popular songs or things that you loved when you were like a teen.
That's so
have you
true.
Seen that one?
Yeah, I actually have seen that one.
You have? And mm-hmm. she talks about like, it's like something about the endorphins that it releases mm-hmm. to listen. And so I realized like when I get in the car, taking my kids around, I'm usually, or no, if I'm taking my kids around, we're listening to the music that they want to listen to, which yes. I like it's mm-hmm. popular stuff or whatever currently.
Yes.
And then, or if I'm alone, I'm always listening to podcasts or books,
book. That's, yeah,
which I love, but I have been trying to, so today at High Fitness, you weren't there today.
Oh, I missed but, it. I'm sad. Yeah,
a Shania Twain came on.
Oh, that's bringing
and I was
back.
Like, whoa, yeah. flashback. And I felt that and I loved it. It was, oh, Any Man of Mine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I've done that routine at High Fitness.
But yes, it was fun. It was fun. And I'm like, oh, this is what she was talking about. Like it kind of mm-hmm. takes you back. And I think there's something about those formative years and like the music that we associate with them. I think she talked about that in the reel or something. Maybe I'm adding that myself.
But, yeah, no, but I think it is something to do with that. Like, well, music in general just can bring you back so fast. Mm-hmm. But I do think that that is huge. Those kind of high school years, when mm-hmm. you hear those songs, it really just is like nostalgic and like fun and takes you back in that. I feel like back into that space, like so well, like you picture yourself there.
And it kind of makes you feel a little lighter mm-hmm. and just in kind of this energetic, I think she talked specifically about like boosting endorphins and stuff. So that's just my little tidbit as I thought I'm going to try to do like a couple times a week, listen to some song that I
love
back
to the '90s
back in the day. Yeah. And just, I don't know. I'm like, that could be a good little boost.
Right. And I do feel like kids do listen to music a lot. So it not only brings me back to the time, but brings me like to my friends and the relationships we had and the different people I was like hanging out with at that time, where I feel like sometimes it does happen where I'll hear a song and like send it to one of my friends, like, oh my gosh, this reminds me of you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So. It's just good memories and kind of bring, also there's like this hopefulness of youth, I mm-hmm. think. And I've noticed that too. Like even when I watch movies that remind me of when I'm younger or something, it just brings back those feelings.
Oh, that we watch 13 Going on 30.
Oh, I love that
and
show.
And my kids had never seen it. We're watching it and it actually had such good music, and the music was from my time.
Oh, from like the 80s.
So like the whole time I'm listening, it was more like, junior high probably, mm-hmm. but I was like in elementary, but I was like, oh, wow, this is so fun. Cause I was kind of doing my own thing in the kitchen, making dinner, and they were watching it. And I was like, wow, this is bringing me back.
Oh, and
like,
I actually love that
movie.
It's
such a cute show.
Okay. I'm going to have to watch that. I really like Jennifer Garner
too. I know
too.
She's super cute.
Yeah. She is really cute. So
yeah, go listen to some music of your, formative years, your graduating year.
Yeah, and notice how it makes you feel just kind of happy. I don't know. I liked it. So
I love it.
A good little advice from that random Instagram reel or whatever
that was, but I've seen it going around. So okay, enjoy Carrie. She's amazing. We loved having her, and all right. Welcome to the Beautiful Shifts podcast today. We're so happy to have Carrie Heaps with us. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm super good today. I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Good. Yeah. We have a little, like a few connections with Carrie. So we've had Carrie's sister Holly on, Holly Weaver, and Carrie's mom, Karen. What is your mom's? I always forget her new married name.
Well, she says her full name. She says Karen Knight Lowell Cushenberry.
Oh, perfect.
But it's Karen Cushenberry.
Right now. To me, you guys are just like, even just you and Holly, you guys are the Lowells, so it's hard to leave.
You're Chantel Woods.
Yeah. Yeah, because we grew up near each other in Stansbury Park, Utah. Mm-hmm. I babysat you and your sister, and our moms were best friends, so.
Yes. I love your mom.
Your mom is so sweet. She always likes my posts and always hearts anything I say about the podcast.
Yeah, she's really supportive of the podcast. It's super sweet. And her episode was so great. So her and Holly's, just for listeners that may not have heard, it was originally we did Holly's last, I can't remember off the top of my head, it was early 2023. Mm-hmm. And so was Karen's. Mm-hmm. They were right close around close the same time. So if you want to go listen. But we did a re-release of Holly's for the first week of January this year just because she had so many like good words and themes throughout
tips
her whole
for, like living your life and going
she's
into the
amazing.
New year.
She always has good little nuggets to put in your pocket.
Yeah, right? I know, right? There was, I mean, so many things. I'm like, I gotta take notes about this, or I gotta leave that in my life. Yeah,
she's a yoga instructor, so that's I feel like that kind of comes with the territory.
Wise words,
yes,
she's good. I was just in Vegas last. Her classes. Oh, you need to. I was in Vegas last for Easter, and I took one of her classes. And
oh, fun.
I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then afterwards, I'm like, did you see how well I did that pose? She's like, I don't watch anyone. I don't look. I'm like, what?
I'm like, so you're supposed to recognize
the only reason
my...
you're like, I
did
for the
it
validation.
So well.
How did it show you?
I know. She's and actually, amazing. when we interviewed her, she had just done that really long 12-hour walk.
Yes.
Where of silent yoga.
Yeah.
Crazy, right? Yeah. No music. Oh my gosh.
I'd go crazy.
I know.
Yeah. If I show up at the gym, like if I'm going to get on the, I'm like, if I don't have a music, I turn right back around. I'm
oh,
like,
same.
I can't do this without headphones. Like I,
yeah,
nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
So super cool. So yeah, if you want to listen to their stories, they're just an amazing
definitely
family.
Listen
so
listen to them. Yeah. Definitely listen to them.
Have a Carrie on as well. So
yes,
I know. And I wanted to have you on right after and I was like, wow, that might be a lot in a row.
Let's spread it out. let's spread out the lulls.
Yeah. maybe tell us a little bit about your current life right now, like where you live and what you do. Oh, actually, should we read her bio?
Oh, yeah. Let's
you
do
read
that. And then.
Okay. Sure. It's just kind of a quick little.
Do you want me to read it? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is Carrie's bio. So currently she's a stay-at-home mom picking up pieces of herself and putting them back together due to a major priority life shift. She's an adjunct instructor in the Department of Filmmaking, Art, and Design at Southern Utah University. Her education, she has a Master's of Fine Arts in Arts Administration and a Bachelor of Arts in Art History. And then formerly, she was an Assistant Director of Operations and Outreach at Southern Utah Museum of Art and an art teacher at Iron Springs Elementary and in the Iron County School District. So that gives us a little idea of who she is.
Oh, and she says, I enjoy challenges that strengthen my ability to see past barriers and find connections. I believe that collaboration is imperative to professional development as an arts educator and manager. So
nice.
I love that.
That's who I am as a professional.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. I didn't know actually where you're at. Cause I know Holly is down in Arizona. Your mom.
Vegas.
You're right. Vegas. Yeah.
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 My mom is in Provo, and I am smack dab in the middle in Cedar City,
okay.
Utah. And so I've been teaching at Southern Utah University for, my gosh, I was pregnant with my son, on and off since 2014. Okay. And I love it. I love it here. it's really windy, but it's not big enough to like stress me out while I'm driving, but it's small enough to not like we have stoplights, you know, more than one. So it's not like, super, but I love it. Town, I love the community here. We have so many good friends here and the school district is awesome. I just love it here. And the funny thing is that when I was going to SUU, I met my husband and I just kept wanting to get out. Like, I need to get out of this small place. Like, I'm bigger than this. I'm better than this. And my husband and I, when we got married, we lived in Salt Lake City for our first year of marriage. And then I got accepted to the graduate program at SUU. And so we just kept coming back. And now we have our roots and now we're here raising our families. So just kind of pulls you in.
Yeah. That's awesome. Awesome. Is he from there? Or
no, he's from Winchester, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
He was born in, I think, American Fork. And then when he was a baby, they moved to Virginia. And then while he was serving his 2-year mission in Ecuador, his parents moved back to Utah, to Cedar City. So he came home here.
Oh, wow. Oh, nice.
So his parents are there now?
His mom is here. Oh, that his dad nice. Passed away in 2013.
Mm. Okay. So you both have lost your dad. That's hard.
Yeah. So we've got that going for us.
Yeah. Remind me when your dad passed.
He passed away on May 7th, 2010.
Oh, wow.
So, and
gosh,
I was
been
just
so long.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. And I was dating my now husband at the time when he passed away.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, my mom now has been gone almost 4 years. I'm like, that went by so fast. But I didn't realize your dad
that
passed 10 years before my mom. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That crazy. Has gone by fast. It feels like a year ago.
I know, right?
By the way, that is crazy. Your mom made the best rolls. Like, I still think about them.
I've heard you talk about her rolls.
Yes, and I make her rolls now. It's now my job. So I make them, like, quite often, always for Thanksgiving, but through
they're like those rolled up kind, right? Oh, I love them. Yeah, my grandma used to make those too. Oh, I love them.
Yes, yeah. She's very good at that.
Long live Jill's recipes.
I know. Yeah. I know, because your mom always loved the Special K treats. And she would call them, like, because we'd make them for Lake Powell. And she'd be like, you can't make these anytime, like, any other time of the year except for the Lowell's in Lake Powell.
I didn't know that recipe came from from your mom. Oh, my gosh.
My mom, yeah.
Well, that has spread through my mom's siblings. She's the oldest of 9. And we all make Special K treats.
Oh, yeah, they're so good.
Yeah. So
okay, I'm going to need to have those. Because I think that's come up on every, like, episode. With your mom and with Holly. I keep hearing about these.
Yes.
We need to make them.
I'm kind of like my mom. Like, there's just certain things I love to make, and I make them all the time. Like, I'm not an amazing cook or anything, but I like to make her rolls and her apple pie. And
I love that. So yeah. You do that.
That's cool.
Yes. Okay, so you have 2 kids, right?
Yep, I have 2 kids. I have a son, Lewis, he just turned 9. His birthday is April 5th, so we just celebrated his birthday. There's still balloons hanging up here. Awesome. And then my daughter, Cecilia, we call her Cece, she is turning 6 on the 17th, so coming up here.
That's so crazy. So my son's is April 4th, and my sister, Carrie, is the 17th.
Really?
So, yeah.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah, is it? Yeah.
So, that is funny. This month is really packed, jam-packed.
Yeah, we have I have 2 of my 4 kids are in April, but then so is my sister, so is my sister's husband, and so are my niece and my nephew. Like, my mom would always say it's like Christmas again, because we had like 7 birthdays in April.
Yeah. Like, no offense, everyone, can we just celebrate it all together with 1 cake?
That's kind of what we would do, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Out,
so. Yeah. Okay, so your husband, did you want to talk about that right now? A little bit about where he is.
My current situation.
Yes, and then we'll start talking about Christy.
Okay, so my husband has 2 professions. He is a police officer for the Cedar City Police Department. He's a corporal in the department, and he loves and values his job here. He loves it so much. He loves the chief of police and the whole department. And he also is in the Army National Guard, and the his expertise is field artillery, and we had to live in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, as this army base, so he could make progress in his role there, and learn more and do crazy math. I don't know what he did, but but that was in 2015 to 16. Right now, he accepted an assignment to be deployed. This is his first major deployment, and he's been in the Army for over 17 years. And oh, wow. I guess you can count technically. Do you remember when Joe Biden became president and there was all of this like chaos in Washington, D.C. surrounding the inauguration? He was deployed there for a month in December through a little bit into January, just to protect that whole situation. All of those guard members went out there. So he was there for a month, and it was technically a deployment, but this deployment that he just left on about a month ago, it's one of the largest deployments from Utah, and it's around 300 soldiers in the Army National Guard deployed to Djibouti, Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's, and it's kind of, they call it the Horn of Africa, Djibouti. And he is working in the embassy over there, kind of the communication liaison between other embassies and other, I don't know, higher ups in the Army. I don't know really what he does, but that's about it.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But because of where he is, they call it a combat deployment, and which means he's kind of more at risk than other locations, other deployments. However, I do feel, and he feels the same way, that he's pretty safe.
That's good.
And his deployment is supposed to end. He's supposed to come home in January of next year. So,
and when did he leave? Just the last month.
A month ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, that is hard.
That is a long time. Here we are.
Yeah, this is a new territory for you. Like, kind of single mom.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally.
That is crazy. And then how often, I mean, technology is obviously pretty good, but how often do you get to talk to him? Is this something that you can do every day? And what's the time difference in Africa?
Yeah.
So right now, well, I just actually talked to him before this.
Oh, cool.
But it's 10 hours ahead. And okay. so he was getting ready to go to bed when I just talked to him. And it is 1:15-ish here. So, yeah, about 10 hours ahead. I don't know if I'm wrong. Don't do the math, but about that.
Something
but
I like have, that. Just, it's Djibouti. Nighttime there.
Yeah, right. I have Djibouti, Africa, like, on my weather app, so I can just see what time it is and how he's surviving the 90-degree heat and, like, 75% humidity.
Ooh. Oh, gosh.
And
that's
bugs.
Crazy.
Yeah.
They gave all the soldiers there pills to take every day to prevent malaria from the mosquitoes. Because there are so many mosquitoes, so many bugs.
Yeah.
Ugh,
and I know it's like insane.
Wow,
that is crazy.
Yeah.
Well, wow, what an adjustment, what a transition in life to just have your husband used to him kind of being there, never left except for a month, and then be gone for almost a year. That's
yeah. How do you feel like it's gone so far? I mean, is it kind of how you expected, or is it just? And also, I was wondering, did you expect him to get deployed like this? Like, did you know that this was coming? Yeah.
I think we knew a year in advance, like, that this might happen. Mm. And I kept thinking might, like, I kept brushing it off. It's probably not going to happen. It's not going. And then until, like, honestly, a month before, I was like, this is actually happening, and we have to tell the kids, and we haven't told them yet. And I don't know how to tell them. I was just kind of putting it off because I didn't want them to have that dread for too long. So
it's almost like I think of when my kids were little, like, you have to get shots. It's like, hey, do I tell them the day before or like 5 minutes before, because they're just gonna dread it forever. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, what is the right timing that they're prepared for it, but they're not dreading it and dwelling on it for so long. That's really
hard. And I can totally see that because my youngest two are twins, 9-year-old twins. So I'm just imagining, because you said your oldest is 9, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's an interesting age because it's like they're old enough to grasp a lot, but they're still so young and innocent and sweet too. So, that's just hard.
Yeah. How are they doing? I'm sure they have their good and bad moments and days. And
they're doing okay. Lewis, he is very soft-hearted and sensitive, and he likes a heads up. He likes me to explain it, all of like the schedule of events and when they're going to happen. Like if we're going on a trip or something, he likes to have all that planned out. He's been okay. He has been struggling just a little bit, not anymore, in school, and just kind of shouting out and distracting other kids. And he's always like that anyway. He has to always work on that, but it's just been extra. And his teacher is wonderful. And her name is Mrs. Adams, and his Spanish teacher is Senior Gabinol. And they are incredible. And she reached out to me, told me, you know, he's been acting out, but maybe it's the deployment. You know, it's been mostly since his dad has left. And I shot back and I was like, no, that's not an excuse. We can't use our deployment as a reason to misbehave in school. Like, I understand it. I want to be sensitive to that. But also, this is just our hard thing right now. Everyone has hard things. This is just ours. So we're not any special than anyone else. And so I had to have that conversation with him, like, no, you still have to do well and behave in school, Lewis.
Yeah, I like how you put that. Like, we all, this is your hard thing right now. We all go through hard things. And it seems when it's your thing that it's exceptionally hard or the worst or whatever. But it's just, what you're going through now. And
And I think it's really valuable to teach that to kids because I, as you said, I'm like, I need to be better about reminding my kids that, because it's so easy. They're naturally just looking at their own life, and that's normal. That's age development and everything. But that, how do we teach them empathy? That's how, like, teaching them from a young age. So good job. Yeah, sounds like an awesome parenting. Yeah.
Thanks. It's a good move there.
Yeah.
And how are you handling it?
Yeah.
I'm
sure. Yeah.
Well, before I get to me, I'll talk about Cece. So Cece, our 6-year-old, she's in kindergarten. She's in all-day kindergarten. So they're both in all-day school. So that gives me time to catch up around the house. I don't know. I haven't done this in a long time, being home. And now they're both in school. And I kind of am embarrassed when people ask what I do, because I'm not a full-time assistant director at an art museum
anymore.
You're
used to being that, yeah.
Yeah, and that was so cool to me, and so cool to have that answer when people asked. But Cece and Eric, my husband, her dad, they have the most special, beautiful, close relationship. He makes her laugh harder and longer than anyone in the whole world. She has cried almost every day. I think every day. Aww, just
that breaks my heart.
Just even mid-sentence. I know. Like, mid-sentence. Oh, wow. Like, I'm asking her about her day, or she is just talking about something, and it reminded her of her dad, and, like, she would just start crying mid-sentence. Like, it's so genuine, and it's so real and honest. Aww. And we've been trying to navigate how to handle those situations, because it's okay to cry and it's okay to feel sad and it's okay to miss him. Like, I miss him too. And that's kind of my go-to now when they are upset or they're having a moment where they are missing their dad, that I just give them a big hug and I say, I miss him too. And just hug them as long as they need, and then keep making dinner, keep doing homework, keep whatever they're doing. So,
yeah. You don't want to be like, oh, it's fine. You know, he'll be home. And
you're fine. But
let him have. That's a big reason to be sad. You know.
Yeah.
It's okay to have a moment. And
I think validating their feelings is so important.
Right. And relating, like, you miss him too. Mm-hmm. Like, you're sad too. So.
Making her realize this is okay and normal to miss him, and actually good. Like, because that means they have a really special relationship and he's a great dad and, you know. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
As for me, how I've been adjusting to the deployment, it's been a little rough and it's been enlightening because Eric does a lot at home. He is hands-on, putting kids to bed, helping with baths, showers, you know, everything. He does so much, and it's a big hole in our house right now, and I'm filling that hole as best as I can. But I put so much pressure on myself, I think. When a lot of people come up to me and they're like, "How are you doing?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but I think my kids are okay, and that's my priority." Mm-hmm. But it has been a lot. It's been a lot. And it's been great to kind of see how much he does. Not that I didn't appreciate him before, but I'm extra appreciative now.
I'm sure, yeah. Mm. That's awesome. He sounds awesome. I think it's funny because my sister's name's Carrie, and you guys have your name spelled the exact same way. And my brother's name's Eric. So Carrie with the same
spelling. Oh, yeah, that's right. Married and Eric.
Yeah, because Eric and Carrie, like, that just goes together because that's my brother and my sister. Yeah. So when I talk about my siblings, like, oh, my siblings, Eric and Carrie, I'm like, oh, you're Eric and Carrie, but it's your spouse and you're married.
Look at us.
But anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
That is funny. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Well, that is super hard. That would be a really hard transition. My husband travels a lot for work, but it's, like, very short. Like, the longest is usually, like, 3 or 4 days at the longest. But it's, like, it's hard because it is kind of this weird, wow, we are a team. And so when he's gone, it's like, whoa, I gotta, yeah, you recognize what they do to help. And then you recognize, like, well, it's really hard to be a single mom, even just for a few days, because it's so, you know, different without them here. And yeah, he's really traveling a lot in the next couple of weeks. And we're both like, okay, we got this game and this sport and this activity and this kid has to be here. And
oh my gosh.
Just trying to, like, you know, but you're doing it. Yeah. Like every day with no really break in between, but
yeah
so that would be hard. And then just,
but we're doing it,
missing him. Yeah. And I'm glad he seems to be in a safe space, but there's also that element of, like, it's still supposedly a combat zone, so that's just, even that word just sounds so scary.
I know, a combat deployment. I will say I had my first little, like, humbling experience, I guess you can call it, where I didn't hear from him at the usual time that he would even message me, even just, you know, I can't talk tonight, but, you know, everything's good. Or I didn't hear from him for a long time, and I started to, like, really panic. Like, I went, oh my gosh, he's dead.
To the extreme, yeah. Seconds.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, I'm sure.
But the good thing, I guess, that comes from a deployment is the support. I have so much support. There is a family representative from our unit here who reaches out to me, checks in on me, you know, once a month and sends me resources. And so I reached out to her. I'm like, if anything were to, I'm not worried that anything's wrong with my husband right now that I haven't heard from him in 5 hours, but if anything were to happen, how would I find out about it? And she kind of helped me figure that out and then started a group chat with, like, the other mom in Cedar City who also has a husband on that same deployment. Making
that's
connections. Helpful. Yeah, it is helpful. And then other resources that this, her name's Austin and she's amazing, but she sent me this grant. There's a grant called Our Military Kids, and they provide grants for children whose parents are in a deployment for so long, and that money goes towards extracurricular activities. And so I wrote that grant, and I got the 2 grants per child. And so their gymnastics classes and ninja classes for Lewis are all paid for. And so there's a lot of resources for families and support. So that's been really awesome to be a part of and to have.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with anything with the military, and so
I don't either. I still don't know.
Cool,
what
they have that.
Doing.
Right, you're like, what have you been doing over there? But I think it's cool that they have those program and support for the family that's back home. Like,
it's really,
I mean,
cool.
It makes sense that they should, but I just, not knowing that, it's like, oh, that is really cool that they have those things and support that way. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if we ever said, how often do you get to talk to him, like every day or How often
do
you
get? At least once a day. Yeah.
Oh, good.
He was doing this thing where he was waking up at 4:30 in the morning to call us at bedtime. So we were getting the kids ready for bed, and he was just getting up at 4:30 in the morning to talk to us. Mm. But he was so dead tired. It was kind of pointless. I felt so bad. But we tried it for like 7 days, and he's like, I don't know if I can do it. And last week was spring break, and that was great because he was able to call us during his evening, and it was like 11 in the morning for us. And that was great because we had talked to their dad, who was awake and alert and interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just figuring out maybe, you know, quick check-ins here and there, but a good phone call once a week. Like during the weekend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
that's good.
That's so good. I just am thinking about people in past years, you know, when long distance phone calls, probably they were hardly maybe doing them like once a month, or I don't know actually.
Yeah, again, or even way, way back in when phones weren't even like, yeah, like it's crazy, so good for the technology.
Yes, like what it means to be deployed. I mean, is so much now, and but just thinking of
at least you can communicate with him.
Yeah, regularly. Yeah, that's
absolutely. And not because if like it's a few hours made you nervous, but if you didn't get to hear him perform only once a week, it would be like all the whole week you'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah, and when they relied on letters and you know things like that.
So we just and stuff.
We both just read a book set in the Vietnam era, and it was so good.
It was really
good. But yeah, just reading, you know, the communication, even just back then, that was only the 70s.
Yeah, but
it
was hard not long to call. Ago. It was a lot mainly letters.
Yeah.
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 Same so, with Iraq. Like, that grateful was that long for that. Ago. Yeah, I am.
That's true. Yeah. Even that's Iraq. Insane. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's a hard challenge, but it sounds like you're doing a good job navigating it, and I'm sure there's ups and downs, but.
Yeah. Do you have any like tips that you would give to listeners, you know, if they have a husband in the military or spouse or someone close or going to be dealing with deployment anytime soon or currently are? I know you're more in the early stages of it, but.
I know. I still feel like an amateur deployment wife. I guess the one thing that I have for myself is therapy. I'm a huge advocate for therapy, and throwing up words all over your therapist and then getting that out there.
Just letting it all out.
Yeah.
And the second thing that has honestly been a lifesaver that I haven't had a regular habit of doing in a long time is going on walks, walking. Mm. That's actually been very helpful for me to do. It's just kind of lifted my spirit. It's me time, and it's gotten me prepared to take on the rest of the day when the kids are done with school and all that. So just, and exercise. I'm a huge.
Are you a CrossFit girl?
I am a CrossFit girl. I love lifting weights. I love throwing barbells around. I love it.
Oh, cool.
But I did switch from like the CrossFit. I do lift weights in my garage. I have a little garage corner, but I have switched over to, we have this yoga studio in Cedar City called Bristlecone. It's a coffee shop and a yoga studio. And I'm not into yoga as much as I wish I was. I have a hard time holding positions for long. Like I get really impatient with myself.
Yeah.
But they have a hot sculpt class that is a little bit more Pilates and ways and it's amazing. So I started doing that 3 times a week and then lifting weights twice a week and then walking. I'm just really trying to be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's helped me.
Yeah. That reminds me of when your mom was on and she said that her dad, so your grandpa said to her, like, it's going to be okay. Like, even though in the moment it just doesn't, whatever you're going through does not seem like it is, but somehow it is. Somehow we get through things somehow.
I love when she said that.
Yeah. And I do think like just even the three things that you said, like therapist, getting outside. So, and then exercise, those three things are so good for us always, but especially in, you know, stressful times or hard times.
Yeah,
totally.
That's awesome.
Because I can lash out on my kids at any moment if I'm not like balanced. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, yeah. I have less, I'm more well-tempered and patient as I can be with my kids and myself. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's great advice for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing about therapy, the thing that I love about it is it's like, sometimes those things that you're feeling that you just need to say, I know I've said this before. This is one of the things Chantel and I were like, there's like five or six things we probably said over and over, but I always remember this. Yeah. This thing that stuck out to me that this therapist said once of like 80% of healing or even just like processing through your emotions is just saying it out loud. But I feel like sometimes it's not like we want to burden everyone in our lives with all the thoughts and all the things. So I think some people think of therapy as like, oh, you have all these issues or, you know, it gets the labels. But really, it's like just being able
like
to talk.
Like what you said, just like all the words. You're just throwing them all out at your therapist.
Yes. Yeah, throwing up everything. And that's what they're there for. And they can give you some guidance and things. But anyway, so I love that. So it's like there you have your emotional component. And then you have your physical with your activity, you know, just getting your endorphins and your stress release. And then the more maybe contemplative. I was going to ask, in your walks, do you do it? Do you like listen to podcasts or music, or do you just go quietly? I was curious with that because I want to be better at walking. Like, but I am kind of, I don't know if I have like a little bit of maybe ADHD or something, but I've got to be like having something going at all times. But I'm like, I need to be better about like sitting that. In my thoughts. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No. In fact, so, that's a challenge that my therapist has given me is to, I have headphones in almost all day with podcasts, distractions, yes. with mm-hmm. if I'm doing dishes, like I don't want to meditate while doing the dishes, Mel Robbins. Yeah. Right? Like I can't think about how the water feels on my fingers and how the brush feels in the soap. Like I can't do that. But one thing that my therapist has challenged me with is to sit in silence and discomfort. Mm. And to recognize it for what it is. And also recognize that I am okay in this discomfort, in this uncomfortable, quiet situation. It is so quiet in my house. It's so quiet with Eric gone. But it's really important to first recognize that you miss someone because you love them, and then two, really acknowledge how you're feeling and not dismiss it and not ignore it and not get distracted from it. Because, and maybe this can transition into losing my twin sister, but I have done nothing but distracted myself up until like maybe a year or two ago with processing the grief of losing my twin sister. So here we are. People cry on this podcast, right?
Oh yeah, oh, for we sure. Cry. Yes. I'm crying right now. Okay. So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and actually, I love what you just shared because that's so true, and I need to remember that. How can we really process? I do think listening to things, it helps me get things done, and it helps me stay motivated in life. Because like you use the dishes example, I swear I wouldn't get anything done if I couldn't listen to a podcast or a book or something. No, I'll just sit on my couch. I mean, I'm not the type to just sit anyway, but it's really hard to get so if I'm listening, I'm going, you know, it got, but I think what you said is so right.
Avoiding some of the,
yeah. And we're distracting ourselves with other people's words and other people's thoughts. So when are we thinking through our own? And so that silence, I love that challenge that your therapist gave you, and I'm going to take it myself because I think I need.
It's good advice. Yeah. It's hard. Yeah. Though. It's so hard. It's
very and maybe hard. Finding a specific time even, like I'm thinking, you know, if you say, okay, every day at this time or whatever, I'm going to try, you know, maybe go on a walk or maybe sit in your closet. Sometimes I'm like, where can you go to have silence when you have kids?
Have a moment.
Well, what you said, I thought it was interesting because about 10 minutes ago or something, you said, you know, your kids are at school all day now. You aren't working as like full, or were you full time before?
I was full time.
You were. So like you were busy, and then your husband gets deployed. So all those things happen right at once, and you are probably alone a lot more than you were previously. So
here we are. We're doing it. There's nothing more uncomfortable to me naturally than being a stay at home mom. And this is a really vulnerable thing to admit on a podcast, but I'm going to because it's been a huge kind of lesson for me right now. One thing that happened after I lost my twin sister, Christy, was a pile of clean clothes. That's what happened. I have not, up until maybe, I'm still working on it right now, today. Up in, like, since she passed away in 2016 to now, I've always had a pile of clean clothes. Like, it's been such a mind block for me to put clean clothes away. I can't explain it. I can have a total clean house, and I just can't get to those clothes. Like, it's just there. And the kids have to go and, like, Mom, I can't find my other sock. Go look in the clean clothes pile, okay? And when I was working full-time, so let me back up a little bit. Christy passed away, so I had every excuse in the world to have a pile of clean clothes. No one would blame me if I wasn't on top of the laundry. No one would blame me if I wasn't keeping up with the house chores. Everyone had grace for me, and I had it for myself. I had every excuse in the world to sit on my butt and miss my twin sister, and that was okay. When I started working full-time, I was so busy, so thrown into this job that I love so much, that I had every excuse in the world to have a messy house, to pay someone to clean it for me. I just always had these excuses. And when I finally got to this place where I needed to see a therapist, I didn't start seeing a therapist since Christy died until a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. And the reason why I started therapy, and I told him, Mike, my therapist, this in our first visit, was I don't want to have any more excuses. I want to be held responsible. I want to, I don't want to have any more excuses. I need to get those clothes put away. I need to take care of my family. So that's kind of been, does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. The pile of clothes could literally just be an analogy for anything that's a roadblock for healing or whatever it is. It could be, I mean, it sounds like that's what you're saying is an analogy, but it's like real, like it was really just a pile of clean clothes, but it makes so much sense how you
totally. And explain that. And I relate to that in a literal sense because my laundry basket is always like that. But as you're saying that, I'm like, does that mean like I need to work through that too? Can't ever, they're clean and you know that you did it, but just getting those put away can be really hard.
Yeah. Well,
that's interesting.
And I look at it and it just seems like such a mountain to climb. Like I look at this mountain of clothes and I'm like, that is too much. I'm not doing it. And my therapist checks on me in these visits and like asks, you know, are you putting the clothes away? Like, it's so ridiculous to say that, that he says that, but he's like, how are you doing? And I think that one thing, something that stuck out to me that he said was, it seems like that pile of clothes is that last piece of grief that you're holding on to. It's like, he said something like, it's a way of honoring your twin sister. Like, you have been able to move on successfully in this area and this of your life. But this has been the thing that hasn't been able to get done on a regular routine basis. And maybe this is that last piece of grief that you're just kind of holding on to. And that really resonated. And I feel like that was pretty accurate.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm better. I'm getting those clothes put away.
Yeah. And it could be like, I mean, do you think a little bit, is it like the, I don't know if guilt is the right word, but like if I put those clothes away, then I have like
moved
healed on from this thing that I'm never really going like to, it will affect your whole life. It's your sister. It's your twin sister. Like, it's so hard, but almost like, well, if I do get rid of that grief, or if I do, you know, feel like I'm progressing or moving on, or even not getting a therapist for 5 or 6 years, like, is it like I don't want to feel bad for not thinking about this all the time or being sad all the time, because this is just too sad and too hard. And I don't want Christy to think I can move on without her, because it shouldn't be possible that I can, because she's my twin sister, you know?
100%. All of that. Mm-hmm. Gentle.
Yeah.
It's a, losing a twin sister is like a next level grief.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
And I'm okay. I have been doing so much better. But I didn't know any other life. I didn't have any other best friend like that. And no one else. I mean, it's just different. It's different. I lost my dad in 2010, and that was, you know, the closest death to me that I had to kind of process and work through. But I had a lot of comfort. I had so much peace because he was so sick for so long. And mm-hmm. I had so many conversations about what happens after we die. And I knew what happened to my dad. Like, I just had this so much comfort and peace. But when I lost my twin sister, she, as you might have, you both know this, she died of a heroin overdose. It was nothing like the loss of my dad. It was, I thought, okay, I've done this before, I can do it again. But it is not, it was not the same, and is not the same. When my dad died, it felt like my family, my brother, and Christy, my twin, my sisters, and my mom, we got kind of all banded together, and we got through it. When Christy died, it was interesting because my family, my older sister Holly, my brother Tommy, my mom, we all had such different kinds of relationships with Christy that it was natural for us to kind of separate and grieve on our own. And it wasn't anyone's fault. It wasn't, it was just kind of how it happened, because it was so painful for each one of us in different ways. Another thing that is interesting, I guess, in talking to my older sister, Holly, she pretty much raised Christy and I. My mom is a wonderful mom. She's working full-time when Christy and I were little. Mm-hmm. And Holly was the one, you know, looking for my other rainbow sock, like, on her way to kindergarten, because she didn't want to be late. Where's your other sock? Like, that was Holly. And she had so much guilt when Christy died. Like, she told me, you know, it felt like that was my daughter. Like, it, she had so much guilt. I could have helped her. Why did I do this? Why? And I had zero guilt. Guilt was not one thing that I felt after Christy died. I felt sad. I felt, I shut down. I totally shut down, and I shut out my husband, and I was going through motions, and I pushed people away because I had never felt grief like that before. And one quote that Russell L. Nelson, that stood out to me then and stands out to me now, is that he said, there's this talk he gave once years ago, like in the 90s, called Doors of Death. Maybe it wasn't in the 90s, I don't know. But he said the only way to take sorrow out of death is to take love out of life. And after Christy died, I didn't want any love in my life, because I didn't want to feel that pain ever again. Like, I was terrified of it. And so it's just, yeah, I distance myself from everyone I love the most. Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah. And it really does make sense. Like, you know, Holly's grief is different than yours, and her relationship with Christy was different than yours, and how, I mean, we have different personalities, we have different birth order, we have different, you know, the fact that she was your twin, like, I don't know, that's just so, and all of it's hard, I mean,
yeah,
but to be, yeah, it's like, But it's so true. If we don't, love deeply, then we're not going to grieve deeply. Mm-mm. But it's so hard because I can see you're like, I don't want to feel this ever again. No. So if I don't put in all the time and love and energy into others, then I won't hurt like this again. You know, whether it's really conscious or subconscious, it makes sense.
And I didn't feel like anyone could understand my grief. I didn't want to burden anyone with it. There's those, you know, Facebook support groups that I joined, the Twinless Twin Facebook group. And that just was depressing.
Yeah, that's really hard. Yeah.
I had this person I used to work with who kind of, she's just naturally like this. She's all business. But she was like, oh, I have a friend. Let me connect you with this person that I know. Her name's this. And she lost her twin sister like 5 years ago. Let me connect you with her. Like it was like business networking. Like everyone and everyone, if it seemed like everyone was trying to help. No one knew how to help. And I didn't know how to allow anyone to help me, or I didn't know how to help myself. It was just this pain. This pain I had to just work through. Yeah, it's been hard, and it still is hard. But when I was with my sister this past weekend, she looked at me and she said, you are yourself. You're more yourself than you have been since Christy died. And that, meant so much to me.
Yeah.
And it made me so proud of myself. Here I am. I'm doing it.
You're doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
It
wasn't easy, and it's not that it's going to be always, you know, not have hard days, but...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But, yeah, you've done the work and gotten through these last... I mean, that's just hard. I can't... Yeah, and I feel like the same with my mom. Like, 8 years. I cannot believe it's been 8 years.
I know.
But, like, when my mom was a lot like your dad, like, she was just really sick for so long. But the time she had died, I feel like we had mourned her over and over and over. Like, mourned her not being herself anymore, mourned her not working, mourned her not driving, mourned, you know, like, everything she had stopped doing, we'd mourned and mourned. And then when she finally passed, it was so hard and so sad, but it was just such a relief because she was in pain and she wasn't herself. And so it's so different than losing someone that just had so much life to live and had been doing well in so many areas and just, it was just young and it was so unexpected and... It's just a whole different
thing. I wondered, I don't know if we want to revisit a little bit of like what she was going through leading up to it, but because it was a huge surprise. Yeah. So if you'd like to kind of maybe explain to the audience, you know, like you said, she died of a heroin overdose. And I'm also curious, like what your relationship was like. Mm-hmm. And I remember your mom said, I think she had kind of worked through some things. And so I think it was a shock that overdose happened. And I feel like that would even, I mean, not that anything's going to make it even worse because it's always so bad, but I'm sure that blow was even that much worse because you guys thought she was maybe coming out of that. So anyway.
What's interesting about what you just said, Chantel, about, you know, both my dad and your mom being so sick for so long that you had that chance, we had that chance to kind of mourn them and kind of get ready for them dying. Christy and I both have migraine headaches, and with Christy's migraine headaches, they were so frequent and so often that she would go to the doctor and they would prescribe her opioids like immediately, like it was nothing, like it was like, here you go. And that's what got her totally hooked and addicted. In 2012, 2013, when she was really struggling and going in and out of rehabs, I was in graduate school here. And I was really trying to move forward with my life. But there was this point in graduate school where I felt, this was when I did feel guilt. Like, my sister is in rehab. My twin sister is in rehab. Why am I... why am I in school right now? Why am I trying to get my master's degree? This doesn't make any sense. And I even had to have a meeting with the director of the program and like a few of my mentors. And I just said, I can't do this. I don't know why, like, this is so selfish of me to do this right now. My sister needs me, and I'm grateful that I didn't stop. I'm grateful that I didn't leave the program. I'm grateful that I had those trusted mentors who helped me understand that I still need to move forward with my life, and you can still be there for her, just in different ways. And she had overdosed before this, the summer before she died in March. She died on the evening of March 6th into the 7th. And then our 29th birthday was 12 days later. But that previous summer, she had overdosed in the parking lot at Maverick. And luckily, you know, the paramedics came and they saved her. I think they had Narcan, and she came to, and my brother picked her up from the hospital, and we were all just giving her tough love, like, come on. Like, come on, Christy. And that was really terrifying. Because I had a little taste of what it might be like to lose her. But it just, her addiction just got so deep and so out of control, out of our hands, out of her hands, that it took her away from us.
Yeah.
But I know that one thing that my mom, I think she said on her podcast interview with the both of you, that she was actually so grateful that she died in her home, in a place where she was safe, and it wasn't at a Maverick parking lot, you know, alone.
Yeah.
That my mom was able to find her. And that's so traumatic to think about, finding your dead daughter. I can't even begin to imagine what my mom has gone through and the grief that she has endured. But, you know, if we are going to lose this significant, most beautiful, hilarious, intelligent, amazing person in our family by a heroin overdose, that, I guess that would be the best place to do, to have lost her.
Yeah, in a place where she was loved, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even as a mother, I was thinking, like, it would be so hard, mm-hmm. and like you said, just, but you'd find comfort that they were there in your home and that you weren't having to go, you know, retrieve them from wherever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the world they could be. So, yeah.
Addiction is really hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so awful. It's like, you want to get, like, you want to wring the doctor's neck.
Yeah.
When it's not all their fault, but like that started them on the path of opioids. And it's so sad that it's so easily given to people, and nobody wants to be in pain. I mean,
no.
I would love to know. I don't know. Maybe you know the statistic of how often drug addiction starts from a painkiller.
It's a lot. I think it's a lot. Like, there's that. I haven't watched there's a few different documentaries that I've heard about and I haven't watched them, but I've heard it's very highly linked. But I do think that they're cracking down on it. Like, they've gotten a lot more strict, but as you said that, I thought that was the time where I don't think that they knew the strong link yet. So they weren't cracking down. Like you said, migraines are super painful. So you can see why
they're debilitated. You can't do anything.
Yeah.
No. So you want to be able to have relief.
Yeah, but yeah. I just don't think they knew how dangerous it was and how it could lead to addiction so strongly. You know, I mean, they should have known. I think there were certain key people that did know, and that's kind of what's come out. And it's
the
travesty, you know, but
I do genuinely think that everyone is doing the best that they can with the information they have in their professions and in everyday life.
I agree.
My migraines got way worse after she died, like, so bad. And I went to a doctor a few months after she died to see what my options are for managing the pain. And it was so, the doctor I spoke to, it's not my current doctor now, but he was so quick to prescribe. He was like, all right, let's get you on this. I'm like, is it an opioid? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I lost it on him. Like, I lost it. Oh, but everything was so fresh. But I was like, no, anything but that. And that's been a whole separate thing that I've been dealing with my migraines. But I'm at a point where I'm having them much less frequent. And I'm not on opioids. Good. So we're doing okay.
Yeah, but it seems like anyone that I've known that has gotten addicted to drugs, it starts with chronic pain. I mean, it's some, because it's hard to live a life if you are in pain. It's like, yeah, but it's so sad that it's so easily given and that it really does take away the pain. So then people get addicted so quickly because you get relief and it's an addicted substance. So then it's like,
yeah,
so hard.
And before Christy died, the few months before she died, she told my family, I was in Oklahoma at the time when she died, living in Fort Sill with my brand new 7-month-old baby and my husband. And we were all under the impression, based on our conversations with her, that she was clean. I mean, I'm not just saying this now. I knew she wasn't clean. I was like, okay, Christy, but she had figured out this way to have this maintain the sense of normal as she could be by managing the amount of heroin she was doing to at least kind of hold up some jobs and to have us all, you know, kind of fooled.
Have hope or something. Mm-hmm. Or fooled.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she was just doing the best that she could. With the addiction.
Well, she was trying to be functional, but she hadn't. Yeah. I mean, I think that the addiction is just so deep and so strong.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
You know that an addiction is bad when they have to take that drug to feel normal. Yeah. To just get through the day. And that's where she was.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's so hard.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, you being back east, is Oklahoma east?
Midwest.
No clue.
I don't know.
East of us. Yeah.
Wherever.
I never know. Everything's back east.
Like, I got lost the whole time. There's no mountains to direct me.
Yeah, but that would just be so hard too, to probably feel
away. Yeah,
from it all. Like disconnected. I don't know, or maybe in a way, some distance was. I don't know.
Yeah, it was hard. It was very hard.
Well, thanks for sharing all that. I know it's
Thank you so
hard
much.
And vulnerable. And
was there anything else? Like, can I say anything else that would be helpful?
Oh, whatever you want to. Do you have other things you want to share?
I mean, everything. I feel like you said you're a lot like Holly. Like, even when you talk a couple times, I'm like, I know she's not your twin sister, but.
Oh, that's a huge compliment.
Yeah. And you also said she had all these like wisdom to share, but so did you. I mean, I feel like a lot of things you said are so helpful in your situation, but could be applied to so many different transitions and trials in our lives. And.
Well, and I wanted to say this earlier, you guys both have really nice voices. Like, they're just like soothing and comforting to listen to. And you do. So
I do agree. And I think I have a tendency to talk fast and feel like I have to hurry up and get my point out. I'm like, hello, I have a podcast. Like, I have got to slow down. Like, you can't really listen to me. I listen to most of my books and podcasts on like 1.5 or whatever.
Maybe that's why we're used to.
There's no way you can listen to me on 1.5.
You're like, slow down for Chantel. Yeah. Speed up for.
Yeah, but with you and Holly, I was like, oh, like how they're talking, like just clear and soft, but it's not
too rushed.
I'm like, I gotta practice talking like you guys.
Yeah, no, I love. Yeah, we've loved talking with you. Well, I was just thinking, I mean, again, back to advice for listeners or people going through something similar, like, do you have anything along those lines that you'd want to share? Someone with a family member that's gone through addiction. I mean, your situation is so unique in a twin. And like I said earlier, I have twins. And so I keep picturing, and they're boy, girl. So not that I'm diminishing that relationship because it's different in different ways, but I feel that having the same, like a sister twin would just be even an extra special bond. So like, anyway, I just, yeah, I'm so sorry for everything you've been through, but wondering if you have any advice for listeners.
Yeah, because I feel like we all are affected by drugs, which is so sad. We yeah. all have family members, friends, neighbors that are affected by drugs, and it's awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's like you wish you really could just like make that stop, because that ruins lives, like people's relationships. I mean, it's just so hard, and we are all just affected by drugs. I mean, everybody has somebody that's mm-hmm. affected by drugs, whether everyone they have overdosed someone. And died, whether they're yeah mm-hmm. addicted today, whether they're, you know, a lifelong like AA member. I mean,
yeah. And that actually, we've noticed that like our episodes that we do about addiction tend to have really high listens, because I think that's part of why, like, everyone knows someone and everyone usually has a family member, a close friend. And
they want advice yeah. or they want someone that they can relate to or feel like they're not alone in these challenges and stuff. Yeah.
So I wonder if you could maybe give us maybe a word or two of advice for maybe dealing with, or not even dealing with, but like having a family member, someone close with addiction, and then maybe through coping with the loss.
Okay. So a piece of advice I would give someone who has someone significant in their life going through an addiction of some kind is to first take care of yourself. Eat well, take care of your health, your family, your marriage, your relationships. Remember that those things are there too. It can be so easy to have someone so close to you with this addiction to just want to disregard your entire life to help them, but they essentially really and truly need to help themselves. So, yeah, I would just say take care of yourself. You can still love someone without enabling them. And I think that is the most difficult thing, especially with all, like, my twin sister and I had a different relationship than my sister and my mom had, and my sister and my older sister had, and my brother. We had such different relationships, and we all were able to help or hurt her addiction in multiple ways. But one thing that I am very grateful for with my loss and my experience with my twin sister being addicted to heroin was that those times when I felt like it was selfish for me to live my own life, I'm so grateful and proud of myself for doing that still. So I think that's my biggest piece of advice, other than just exercising and going outside. One word that I discovered in graduate school, this was before Christy died, and one word that has stuck with me through graduate school, through, you know, becoming a brand new mom, and then losing my twin sister and getting through that, the word is metal. And the definition is a person's ability to cope well in difficulties or face a demanding situation in a spirited and resilient way. I love that word. I love metal. And I think about that when I don't want to get out of bed and I have two children to feed and to keep alive. So yeah, that's been my go-to.
Yeah, I love that.
To just help yeah. me.
Yeah, and I think it's so easy, like you said, even when you're in your graduate program, like, someone needs my help. It's my twin sister. She's hurting, and I need to drop everything and help her. But like you said, usually in addiction, they have to be the ones that
yeah.
to help themselves, that decide, I'm ready for this. I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to get help. So you can't stop your life, because then also then you're not helpful if you need to be for anybody else, because you're worn out, you're tired, you're mentally and emotionally just like not available for the other people that need you and love you or that you need to have relationships with. And so I think it's really important. Just take care of yourself, because then you're strong in all the ways to be able to be there. when needed.
And it's the hardest time. Mm-hmm. It's the hardest time to take care of yourself when someone you love so much is going through something like that. Like it feels like that's when I felt the guilt. I had zero guilt after she died. And I think it's because of that. Like I was able to work through that. And I really and truly felt like I did everything I possibly could to help her in ways that I knew might be helpful. So I don't know if anyone has said this on your podcast. Has anyone talked about buffaloes and cows?
Yes.
Yeah, but it's been a while.
Okay, we're not doing
it. It was last year.
No, we can do it. Yeah. It's been a whole entire year.
It's been a year. Yeah.
And we have new listeners and new whatever.
Well, and I actually love to revisit like meaningful themes and analogies because it just helps you remember it more.
And analogies are so helpful for me. If someone can paint a picture for me of how to see things, like it helps me so much. So.
Yeah, so I'd love it if you want to share that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Holly, of course, our wise yoga teacher, Holly, mentioned this over the weekend, and I had thought so much about it, and I did more research. I'm like, is this actually true? And it is. But it is very powerful. So animals are very in tune with the weather, and they sense when a storm is coming. And cows, when they sense a storm is coming, they start heading, they start running away from it. And as they run away from it, the storm is still coming in that same direction towards them. And that just isn't super helpful or productive. But when a buffalo senses a storm, they dig their heels in and they face the storm and they head straight towards it. And they get through it, and it builds resilience and stamina and courage. And I just love that picture. It's really powerful. And another thing that happens with a buffalo who's running through towards a storm and through it, they get to experience the sunlight sooner, and they get through it faster because it's passing over them. So when I think about that, first I thought of a couple things. Number one, I thought, oh shoot, like I'm a cow. I'm a cow.
I've been doing it wrong.
We all feel like we're cows.
We all have cow moments.
We're
for
all
sure.
cows.
Yeah. But honestly and truthfully, I have run away from processing grieving my twin sister by working myself to death full time, by distracting myself, by not, you know, my storm has been my pile of clothes that I didn't put away. Things I avoided because I didn't want to face it. Storms in other people's lives can be, you know, dealing with their finances, creating a budget, me. So like I feel like I've run away from so many things, and I think this opportunity I have now, being home, not working, and being a full-time stay-at-home mom, and I can face all of these discomforts, and I can kind of change that switch. I can work more on our family's budget, our finances. I can be more productive in what matters the very most, and that is my marriage and my family and my own mental health. And so I'm so grateful that I have this opportunity. Even though I wish my husband were here with us, I have this amount of time every day while my kids are in school to focus on my growth and to sit in discomfort and to really process the loss that I have really made, like taking measures to ignore and to set aside for the last 8 years. And I think that's really powerful. So I'm now, I do feel like I'm becoming a buffalo. I'm not a cow anymore. Awesome.
But yeah, it's hard to be a buffalo. Really cool.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's crazy to think like it is actually in the end, obviously the easier, less like time, less energy if we go through it, the storm. Mm-hmm. And I saw this big sign in New York that said the only way is through. Mm. And I'm like, that's so true. You want to avoid it. But if you avoid it, you're just putting it off for later. Because if you don't go through it, it's still chasing you. The storm's still coming at you.
It
you
is.
You can't mm-hmm. keep running. It's going to catch up. And then you got to deal with going through it. And staying in it longer if you're going with it, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the analogy is so amazing. I know.
There's so many different ways you can. Because sometimes I think if you run away from problems and also probably run away from the storm, like maybe if you just hit it head on, you know more what to expect almost. But I feel like dodging things and, you know, like we can get caught up in different ways in it. And so anyway, yeah, I love it. But, but you know, I think that's why it's such a powerful analogy. And so many of us, it hits us is because we've all been the cow many, many times. Yeah. So we need that buffalo reminder, but
and I'll put a plug in. So the person that talked about it, his name's Mason Sawyer. He lost his family in a car accident. He lost his brother, his nephew, his wife, and his two of his children.
His kids, yeah.
And he wasn't with them when they got caught in this. And his, and what's crazy about his story is it was literally a storm that killed them. They went. We're driving, I think, in Fillmore.
Yeah, do you remember hearing about that sandstorm?
The sandstorm.
My husband was stuck in traffic because of that storm on his way to drill.
Yeah, and I can't do the drive home without thinking about it anymore. Like, I just drove back from St. George, and I think about it every time.
Yeah, and he has a podcast, so I'll put a plug in for his podcast called 1090, and it's absolutely amazing. Like, he'll share a story with anybody, but he also has his own podcast and has other people on that have gone through hard things, and you can learn something amazing every time from him and his guest. But then his mom, the grandma that lost all these grandkids and a son and a sister-in-law, she wrote a children's book called Into the Storm. And she has these really cool illustrations and just a really simple lesson I bought just to read to my kids. I think they have a hard copy available, and it's just kind of beautiful artwork, and then just a way to teach that whole thing that you just said, like the whole thing with the buffalo and the cow. And
yeah,
I haven't really talked about it with my kids, and I want to, so I'm gonna look into that book. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think it's on Amazon. I got it just from Amazon.
Yeah, so I'm gonna look too. I'd forgotten that he mentioned that.
So I think that is a really good advice for all of us. And but it is one of those things you have to remind yourself all the time. Each new challenge, each new shift in life, you're like, all right, I gotta take this head on. I can't go the other way.
And I don't think it's bad either that sometimes, or bad or negative or whatever you want to say, sometimes survival is distraction until you're ready to work through things. And so that's okay too. You know what I mean? Because maybe back then a few years ago, you couldn't have faced some of those things head on. It might have just been too much, you know? So I think you give yourself grace that like you made it through that, those super hard years, and now you're ready, you know, you're ready to kind of face more.
So true.
Thank you. And actually Eric and I, my husband and I, thought that same thing with this deployment. Had he been deployed 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we wouldn't have been ready as a family. And we both together made this decision and felt like we're in a place that, you know, we can do this. We can get through this.
And I love that you're taking the time. Like, you're like, okay, my husband's gone. This is hard. I could be sad every day, and it's okay that you are sometimes. But you're saying, you know what? This is a time. I have time to myself. My kids are at school. I'm going to work on growth. We love that word. Growth. I'm going to find ways to grow. And so then you are then a better mom, a better spouse, a better daughter, a better friend, and an all around, like, for you, just to feel just good and be able to heal from whatever life throws at you next and whatever you have to go through. And that's what, because sometimes I'm like, man, it's not just one storm that's the problem. If you learn from some storms, you're ready for the next ones, right?
Sometimes. Yeah. But, well, and I think like working on growth, it's kind of like what you said that your sister Holly said over the weekend to you. You know, you're more yourself than you've been, and she probably knows you as well as anyone, just about. So there's something about like really facing ourselves and facing the hard things that I think you get more in tune with yourself, and then you become more confident and more, totally. More yourself than like you've ever been.
I can do hard things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause yeah. you realize like, oh, I don't have to run away from those things anymore, even though it served you for a time. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So I think that's awesome.
When you asked me to come on this podcast, I first thought like, I go on walks every day so I don't cry all day. And I don't I didn't take my grief and turn it into something that is positive. You know, my sister is amazing and she took her sadness and her grief and she has now this 5K that has helped, the Second Chance 5K, which is coming up on April 20th. Yeah. I have admired my older sister so much. She turned her grief of losing our sister into purpose. And she started the Second Chance 5K in Las Vegas. And all of the money made from the 5K goes to help a different organization that the Second Chance team connects with or chooses. If you have a loved one or you've been impacted by addiction, or you want to just go and support something incredible and amazing, go check out the Second Chance 5K. Their Instagram is at Second Chance 5K, and then they also have a website that you can link in the show notes.
Yeah, and then if you can't go and participate, you can donate as well, right, on the website? Yes. Just donate money yep. to it. Mm. So yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. I can't remember which one she did when Holly was there. Maybe it was the light. What was the light where they
shine
go down?
I did Shine a Light. She talked about that. I don't know if it was last year, but I got like emotional as her telling us about Shine a Light. It was amazing.
Yeah. It's cool to see how much it's grown and just, it's so cool.
Last year there is a high school in Las Vegas that is only kids high school age who are going through addiction problems.
I mean, just overall, they just choose someone new each year to sponsor or to donate the money to, which is awesome.
Yep.
So it just kind of spread out through all different types of programs that have to do with addiction and stuff. So
do that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll link to Second Chance 5K in the show notes of this. And I just was messaging your sister, Holly, just barely. And we'll be sharing like a video clip that you guys can go watch to the reels on our stories that has some photos of Christy. Yeah, and just is a really beautiful compilation that Holly made, you know, kind of explaining Second Chance 5K, but also gives a glimpse into her and
tribute to Christy.
Yeah, yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
It's awesome.
It's her why.
Okay, well, this has been
been amazing. We're just so grateful you made the time. And
yes, it
really has. And, you know, grateful you shared. We know it is hard to revisit these things, and I hope it wasn't, you know, too triggering and hopefully
was fine. I was grateful that I had the chance to reflect and think about where I am now, so it was great.
Sometimes it's good to say things out loud that you have these thoughts, but until they come out you're like, oh, okay, this is where I have grown and this is what I have learned and healed and stuff. So
And I feel like it'll be super helpful because there's so many people that have gone through something similar. And also I love what you just talked about with the deployment. I think that's something that I'm sure a lot of people can take value from. And for us, I feel like it's interesting and it gives me like a lot of gratitude for the people that serve, but then I'm sure
it's also not just the person, it's their family sacrificing them being gone. And
So we're grateful you shared everything that you shared. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you. At the end of our podcast, we always ask, how do you find beauty in life after going through your transitions?
You go outside. I go outside. I go on a walk. There's a saying that you're one walk away from a better mood. And so I think that taking a walk alone or I take my dog has helped me in so many different ways. But the main thing is to kind of clear my head and find clarity in the chaos that I leave for just a short amount of time on my walk that I can come back to and get to it. So that's how I find beauty, is to just get outside and go on a walk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that. It was what you said, one walk away from good mood. Is that what you said?
Yeah, you're one walk away from a better mood. I love that. I know.
Better mood. Yeah, I think that's so good. True.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And it's funny because I feel like so much, it's just simple, but yeah, so like it can make such an impact. Like mm-hmm. you said, it's not maybe a really long walk because you do other mm-hmm. exercise. It's just to get outside and clear your head and just move for a minute in nature, and it's can be so helpful.
Yeah.
Yep. Love it.
Definitely. That sunshine on the face and a little fresh air could go a long way.
It's so true. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this is amazing. And I know that you were so little when I lived by you, but your family has such a special place. Sorry. In my heart. And I'm sorry for all your loss. And your mom has been was such a good friend to my mom and to our family. And life can be hard and we've all gone through some hard things, but, I just think you guys are so amazing and such good examples to people on just ways to get through hard things and to be there for others. And, I just love your family so much.
I love you too, Chantel. I can't tell you how much it meant to me to see your face and to hug you at Christy's funeral. That meant a lot.
Yeah, I'm
so glad. I love your family.
Yeah, I was so impressed. I know I said this to probably on Holly's interviews and your mom's, but just the talks that you guys gave at her funeral are just so beautiful, and you guys are also just, I don't know, just gave such heartfelt, like, beautiful, I mean, it's painful and it's hard, but yet you had beautiful things to say throughout there. And I loved all the focus on just Christy and who she was. And you know, I also didn't know her as like an adult, but I feel like I really got to know just like the fun, just seems like such a fun, funny person that would have been so fun to just be around, hang out with.
Yeah. If you wanted to lighten the mood a bit, you would invite Christy over for sure.
I love it.
She's fun.
It's awesome. I love it.
And you guys all have like your, like, I don't know, funny sense of humor. Like your mom always would just make my mom laugh so hard. She'd come back and tell me stories about peeing her pants laughing with your mom. So I love it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. We've loved having you on.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this conversation and would love if you subscribed to the podcast and followed along as we continue hearing more inspiring stories. You can also follow us on Instagram at Beautiful Shifts Podcast, where we will post updates with our latest interviews.
We'd like to thank the band We the Lion for giving us permission to use their beautiful song Move Along for our podcast. Take a minute to listen to the song and the lyrics and enjoy.
I find a way to know myself. All my thoughts are mine again. And begin to understand where to go. Now it's time to move along. Now it's time to move along. Take this journey as my own. Feel the strength right in my bones. All I want is to believe life is my own. Life is my own. I'll start again. My mind is free now. I can feel. I'll take a chance, I won't be wrong. Yes, now it's time to move along. Now it's time to move along. Take